Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 5, first 12 verses, where Jesus is teaching his disciples out on the mountainside. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God bless his word to our hearts.
Well, we learned last week that in our anxiety and fear, which is a natural human response, we're fallen human beings living in an imperfect world. It's a natural response to be anxious, to be afraid when threat and danger comes our way. And we know that from our human experience. We need a greater awareness, a greater consciousness of God, his presence, his power, his purposes, even at this time that we are, this shaking that's going on in our world, enabling us to walk forward in faith and confidence in God. And we've seen such a consciousness of God in Ukraine, standing on God's word. Psalm 32 has been a rock to them in their shelters, in their bomb shelters, praying the Psalms, discovering that its message is true today as it was in the time of David when he wrote it, that it's just for them, and discovering that God is a refuge and strength for them. Uniting in prayer, we've seen last week we were hearing of the ministry of FIBA and the prayers that have been ascending from young people, atheists, but praying and being active in service and attending to the needs of their fellow countrymen and being active in sharing the gospel. We listened to that pastor last week, his heart, you know, saying, look, it's the gospel that we really need to share. And FIBA were saying last week that they have been emboldened to be more direct, more courageous in the sharing of the gospel. How important that the church in UK, that we have that awareness of God's presence and power and purposes, enabling us to walk through these times with faith and confidence in God. There's a times that God gives opportunities to serve him, to witness, to share. We need to be open and aware of God's leading and guiding at these times. We also need a greater awareness of the character that God would want his people to display in these times of great unrest. Christ reveals that character to us in his teaching on the Beatitudes, in his week-long sermon. The Beatitudes were believed to have been over a period of a week. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to reflect on one or two of these Beatitudes. The word beatitude means characteristics in people which are to be congratulated, envied, and which make them truly happy. Truly blessed and happy, says Christ, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These characteristics are not to be congratulated and envied and viewed as evidence of true happiness in the world that we are living in. People manifesting such characteristics are to be pitied. They are to be considered losers. They are to be considered misfits in our world. Blessed, truly happy instead are the self-confident because they rule the world. The carefree because they don't need anybody's comfort. The cocky and assertive because they get what they want. Those who hunger for fame because they get the reality TV shows. The vengeful because they get respect. The pleasure seekers because they see a good time. Those who beat their opponents because the victors write the history books. The popular because everybody loves them. Well, if this life is all that there is, and that life ends in death, there is no God to whom we can know and to whom we are accountable, well, the world's view of blessedness and happiness, well, it's commendable, isn't it? It's a survival of the fittest. It's dog eat dog. It's look after number one. It's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. But if life does not end in death, and if there is a God to whom we are accountable for how we live our lives, well, the world's view of what is to be congratulated and envied, it's completely false, isn't it? It's a delusion. It's empty. It's worthless. And in times of pandemic and times of war, the world's beatitudes, they give no real peace and no comfort and no strength and no hope. And we've seen that in Ukraine, have we? In the great numbers of people seeking real comfort and real peace and hope, of all places, in prayer or in the Bible or in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that where your comfort and peace and hope lies? If it does lie there, then you are truly blessed. You're truly blessed. You are to be envied. You should be happy. If not then you desperately need to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, with that as an introduction, we're going to briefly look at the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit who've got this blessed assurance of a place in God's kingdom of heaven? Well, it's those who humbly acknowledge their spiritual poverty before a pure and a holy God, who acknowledge their uncleanness, their sinfulness before such a God. It's those who humbly acknowledge their inability to make themselves clean and righteous before God. Now, human nature, the pride in human nature, will fight against such a humble acknowledgement. So for you to come, for anyone to have this poverty in this humble acknowledgement of their true state before God and their helplessness, it takes a revelation from God. It takes a blinding light. It takes a Damascus Road experience. But once we reach that state where we humbly acknowledge our need of God, our helplessness to save ourselves, and then put our faith and trust in God's way of removing our sinfulness, our uncleanness, our way of being made righteous in God's sight. And that way is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's Son, on the cross for our sins. Our sins and guilt merited death, eternal punishment. Jesus Christ was punished in our place. He gave himself up to death for us to give us true spiritual riches. Instead of the poverty of our spirits, our helplessness before God, we can come to experience God's grace, the riches of God's grace. And through trusting in Jesus, we have that hope of eternal life, a place in heaven. No wonder there's a rainbow around the salvation that God provides for us. It's God's mercy. It's God's love. Whenever you see a rainbow, remember God loves you. And that's what is around the cross, isn't it? None of us deserve the cross. But it's God's love and mercy expressed to us. And knowing that we are at peace with God, knowing that we have the hope of eternal life, it's the greatest blessing that we can experience in this life. It should make us truly happy. It should make us truly hopeful. Even in the darkest of experiences that we have to pass through, because we know that nothing will be able to separate us from God, from his love for us, from the eternal life that he has prepared for us. Are you at peace with God? Do you have the hope of eternal life? You can, through exercising faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Poverty of spirit, a total dependence upon God. It should also characterize the attitude of the believers who are in God's kingdom. They don't simply humble themselves to get in and then become self-sufficient after that, nor recognizing and confessing their utter spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. They are to live their lives as believers in total dependence, reliance upon God and His grace in our lives. To be able to live the Christian life, to grow in our relationship with God, to discern God's will for our lives, to be equipped to serve Him. In fact, every aspect of the Christian life requires total dependence and reliance upon God. It's attested by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the head of the church. He knows. He knows our needs. He knows His plan for the Christian life. He knows how best it works. And He says these words in John 15, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in Me. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. It's attested by the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest naturally gifted Christians who has ever lived, who had more reason to be confident in himself than anyone else. And yet he says these words, Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's attested by the Apostle Peter, once a great boaster in his spirituality. And though all the others would deny their Lord, he wouldn't. He was the first to do it, was he? And humbled Peter from then on boasted instead of what God could do through him. And he writes in his letter, second letter, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through knowing, depending, relying on Christ. What about us? Are we totally dependent, reliant upon God to provide the spiritual resources that we need to live for Him, to serve Him, to be a witness for Him? Or have we become more self-sufficient and less dependent upon God over the years? As we've gained in knowledge, as we've gained in experience, as we've gained in material things. If we have become more self-sufficient, we miss the blessing of being strengthened and provided from our Heavenly Father's hand. And being less dependent upon God, we drift away from Him, do we? We drift away. We miss the blessing of intimacy with God as well. If we forfeit these great blessings, we can find ourselves living spiritually poor lives. I wonder, is that our experience? We can know a lot, and that's the danger. We know a lot, and it builds up, and we think, well, we don't need to be so dependent, because after all, we've been on this road for a long time. We know how it works, and we think we can anticipate, but we can't. We don't know what's around the corner. And God may lead us, want to lead us in an entirely different direction. That's why we need to be dependent upon him. The pandemic, the earth-shaking events we're experiencing is a blessing, actually, in disguise. If it leads to a greater awareness of our need of God, a greater dependence upon God, and a greater experience of God. May that be true for all of us, that in these times of shaking and unrest, awareness of our poverty in spirit, our need, our weakness, that we would discover God's power, God's strength, God's grace in a far greater way. Sometimes God needs to shake us, for us to feel that shaking as believers, to be able to know the true foundation that we have, to know that the Lord really is the foundation in our lives, and for us to cry out to him